Good morning. We'll come to that psalm shortly. We come to the second part, as Barry has said, of a two-part series on how we can improve our prayer life. And last week, for those of you who were not here, we explored two ways to help us do just that. Firstly, we took the words of Paul from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, to pray without ceasing, to keep on praying or to pray constantly, and how that was more about an attitude rather than an activity, to have that keen awareness of God's presence in our life every moment of every day. And that the line of communication with God is always open, day or night, to bring any matter, any need, or any situation before Him, regardless of where you are or what you're doing. And then last week we looked at the idea of praying regularly, taking the example of Jesus and setting aside a regular time to pray and listen to God, if you like, making a daily appointment with God in our schedules. And this morning we're going to look at two further ways that can help us to improve our prayer lives. And Barry's touched on the first one already, and that's about praying honestly. The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse 13 says this: "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." So there's absolutely no reason for us to try to, if you like, cover up or hide anything from God. We're told that God knows how many hairs we have in our head. He knows every need we have even before we ask. He knows every hurt we feel and every tear that we shed. He knows every sinful thought we have and every sinful deed that we commit. He knows our every weakness, our every flaw, our every shortcoming. He knows things about us that nobody else knows. Indeed, He even knows things about us that even we don't know about ourselves. And that's why it's imperative that we be completely honest and transparent with God when we pray. These are the words of King David from Psalm 66. "If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord wouldn't have listened." So when you and I pray, we must be completely honest about our sins. That means that we must not only confess our sins, but we must call them sins. God calls them sins, not some whitewashed, glossed over term. And it means we must take complete ownership of our sins and not point the finger of blame at someone else. But in addition to confessing our sins, being honest with God also means that we should tell Him how we feel. Were you inspired by Psalm 88? We were discussing it briefly at the home group on Thursday, and the consensus was it was a very depressing psalm. Because many of the psalms that articulate fears, concerns, express perhaps loneliness, usually end up praising God. But not Psalm 88. I call it not so much a depressing psalm, but an honest psalm. The psalmist is telling God exactly how he feels. No holds barred. And I think there's a lesson for all of us there that we can apply to our individual prayer lives. And that is to be completely honest with God. Some of the most honest prayers we saw earlier from the video come from children. And we as adults would do well to adopt their honesty and their uncluttered language. Barry and I did not compare notes, but I have some of these quotes here. Maybe you didn't get quite a chance to read them, but here's just some that I noted. Isn't that amazing how God works? I bet it's very hard to love everyone in the world, God. There are only 4 people in our family, and I'm having a hard time loving all of them. Dear God, did you mean for the giraffe to look like that, or was it an accident? I went to this wedding, and they kissed right in the church. Is that okay? Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but I think you got confused because what I prayed for was a puppy. Dear God, please send a new baby for mummy because the baby you sent last week cries too much. And finally, could you please give my brother some brains? So far, he doesn't have any. Funny, yes, but also honest. Do you catch the honesty? Telling God how we feel. And I think that if we can capture some of that honesty in our prayer lives, we'll start to improve our connection with God. So, if you and I are to improve our prayer life, we should pray constantly, or pray without ceasing. We should pray regularly by setting aside a specific time and place for prayer each day. And we should pray honestly by being completely open and transparent before our all-knowing and all-seeing God. And lastly, we should pray persistently. At the beginning of Luke chapter 18, we read this: one day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Some people think that praying about a certain matter over and over again demonstrates a lack of faith and trust in God. Sometimes that might be true. Sometimes people pray the same thing over and over again because they refuse to accept God's answer. And that does demonstrate a lack of faith and trust in God. But until God gives us a clear answer in a matter that we've prayed about, the Bible teaches us to be persistent until God makes his will known to us. In Luke chapter 18, it goes on, Jesus tells his disciples the parable of the persistent widow who went before an ungodly and unconcerned judge to plead her case against an adversary who had done her wrong. And when the judge wouldn't listen the first time, she went back again and again and again until he answered her petition. Earlier in Luke chapter 11, Jesus tells his disciples another parable about the friend who came knocking at the door at midnight needing bread. At first, the friend refused to give him bread because of the late hour. But because of the man's persistence and his refusal to go away, the friend finally granted his request and gave him the bread. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus gives us this command. Ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Jesus is literally commanding us to keep asking. Keep seeing and keep knocking until we have received our answer from God. I think one reason our prayer life isn't as effective as it could be or should be is because many of us are not persistent in our prayers. We maybe pray about a matter once, maybe twice, and then when we don't hear back from God, we assume he isn't going to answer us. And so we stop praying. I want to say to you this morning, if you want to see a dramatic improvement in your prayer life, pray persistently until God answers. Pray persistently until God answers. Now you may think that these four ways of praying constantly, regularly, honestly, and persistently apply only to our individual prayer life. But they also apply to our collective prayer life as a church. I moved here 10 years ago to discover that there was no collective prayer time in the church calendar. I truly believe that a church that doesn't pray collectively is missing out on God's blessings. And so in 2012, we started a weekly prayer meeting. We were in vacancy at the time. It only lasts 30 minutes. 30 minutes, in order that it really doesn't impinge on people's evenings. And the good news is, I think that you can correlate or link the spiritual growth of this church to the church prayer meeting. We've seen some amazing things, people's lives being changed in these last 8 years. We've seen the spirituality of the church growing, people individually and collectively. And I think that is linked to the weekly prayer meeting. But the sad news is that the average attendance at that prayer meeting is around 10 people. That's less than 10% of the average attendance here on a Sunday morning. Less than 10%. Now, while numbers are not the be-all and end-all, they are a barometer of the spiritual desire of the church. Can you imagine what the impact of this church might be if more people attended that 30-minute prayer meeting? Indeed, can you imagine what the impact might be if all of us here this morning attended in the church hall at 7 o'clock on a Thursday evening? Can you imagine what the impact might be? In my experience, my Christian experience, I've seen some amazing answers to prayer beyond expectations, when the collective body of Christ comes together to pray. To pray constantly, regularly, honestly, and persistently. So I want to challenge you this morning, if I can, if you'll allow me. Come along, if you don't already, come along on a Thursday evening, 7 o'clock in the church hall for 30 minutes to pray. And if you feel uncomfortable praying aloud, that doesn't matter. Pray silently. That is more than acceptable. Indeed, if you all came, we might have to extend it more than 30 minutes. These four ways of praying constantly, of praying regularly, of praying honestly, and of praying persistently apply not only to our individual prayer life, but to our collective prayer life as the body of Christ. I want to conclude this short two-part series by sharing with you about General Robert E. Lee. He's best remembered in history as a great American Civil War general, although people of my generation will recall it was the name of the car in the Dukes of Hazzard, General Lee. However, he's also remembered as a very godly man who spent much time in prayer. So in closing, I'd like to share with you these words from Robert E. Lee regarding the importance of prayer life. This is what he wrote. Knowing that intercessory prayer is our mightiest weapon and the supreme call for all Christians today, I pleadingly urge our people everywhere to pray. Believing that prayer is the greatest contribution that our people can make in this critical hour, I humbly urge that we take time to pray, to really pray. Let there be prayer at sunrise, midday, sunset, and midnight, all through the day. Let us pray for our children, our youth, our aged, our preachers, and our homes. Let us pray for our churches. Let us pray for ourselves, that we may not lose the word concern out of our Christian vocabulary. Let us pray for our nation. Let us pray for those who have never known Jesus Christ and his redeeming love, and for moral forces everywhere, and for our national leaders. Let prayer be our passion, and let prayer be our practice. And that's my prayer for each of you individually and for us as a church. Let prayer be our passion, and let prayer be our practice. And I pray that all of us this morning will accept the challenge to improve our prayer life individually and as a church, praying constantly, regularly, honestly, and persistently. It was the late Billy Graham who said this: every man or woman whose life has ever counted for God has been a person of prayer. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. Throughout both the Bible and the history of the church, those who made the greatest impact for God were those who prayed the most. I'm going to pray just in a minute or so, but I want to give you the opportunity just to pray in your seats If you haven't talked to God for a while, tell him how you feel. If you're facing big challenges, talk to him about it. If life is going great for you, praise him. So I'm just going to ask that we just pray quietly for the next minute, and then I'll pray, and then we'll sing our final song. So let's pray. Father, we come to you as a group of individuals trying to follow you. We thank you for the gift of prayer. We couldn't even dream of contacting national leaders, important people in the world. And yet we can come to you, Almighty God, a God who loves us and listens to our feelings, our thoughts, our requests, our praise. So we're sorry, Lord, if we've not been talking to you for a while. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to pray constantly to you with that attitude of your presence around us. Help us to pray regularly, as Jesus did. Help us to pray honestly, Lord, like children do. And help us to be persistent in our prayers until you answer. We thank you for the gift of prayer, Lord. It's an amazing gift. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.